world famous Phil Hendry Show and philhendryshow.com. Nice to have you with us, folks. And anyway,
what's wrong?
Nothing. I just I would like things around here to be a little bit more proficient technically. Let me just put it to you as simply as I can.
Well, you can't get it. No one's gonna understand.
I'm just telling you. You know, I'm an old school guy, man. You know, I don't play this. I don't play that, man. I'm an old school guy. It's got to be tight. It's got to be right. It's got to be good. It's got to be sweet. In the words of the Navy SEALs, well lubed. Thank you. All right. Welcome back to our program. And Stephen Bozell, who found himself in a very interesting situation yesterday. Steve was on the air with Ted Bell. They were doing our pro game of the week. They were announcing the Denver and Dallas game. What a ball game it was. And all of a sudden, it was, I believe, Ted Bell who began to choke and gag and squeal and everything else. And next thing you know, he had a problem. And Ted had an asthma attack, and Steve had to take over, not only broadcasting the game, but at one point there, Steve, you also had to carry Ted downstairs.
That's pretty much how it went down, Phil. I had to... he started to gag up, and I went, what are you doing? And I thought he was kidding at first. And
do we have a tape recording of that, Bud?
I think I sent an MP3 to Bud to Dud Bickman, or I'm sorry, Dub Bickman, and
Bud Dickman. You sent that to him?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Play that, and let's hear it. This is when he was talking to you on the phone from the hospital, right?
Yes, sir.
That's all I got.
Yeah, that's all we got.
What was that, man?
It was something like his throat was constricted or something. Something got tight right up. And so when he was having a hard time breathing, I said, well, I've got to get you to an ambulance. So I picked him up and carried him down about two flights of stairs.
Why didn't you guys wait for an ambulance to bring a gurney up there?
Because I needed the room, and I knew I had to do the game, and I knew that I had to. I needed a room there in the press box. And Ted had collapsed in the chair, and I didn't want to lay him on the floor because at halftime, they bring in, I don't know if you're familiar, Phil, but they will generally cater in the sandwiches so you don't have to leave because you're doing the game. And if the girl came in with the sandwiches and the drinks, she'd trip over Ted.
Oh, I see. So in order to make it nice and cleared out for the sandwiches, you got to get Ted out of the booth.
Phil, I mean,
it is part of the work environment.
You got a guy that's collapsed on the floor of the press. All right, so what did you do with him?
I picked him up, and I carried him downstairs. And I laid him down as gently as I could on the asphalt, and then I had to leave. And I'm sorry that it took another 90 minutes for the...
Ted Bell laid there for 90 minutes while the ambulance arrived, or didn't arrive, or was he was waiting for it to arrive. And Ted was conscious through that whole period.
Yeah, well, I mean, yes, he was.
Okay, and he remembers beer being spilled on him, ice cream... people leaning over and looking at him, all kinds of stuff.
Well, I mean, at least nobody leaned over. I mean, what he said to me, and I'm only quoting him, Mr. Hendry, he said it wasn't all that bad because a lady, and again, I want to be very clean, you know.
Watch out. Watch what you say.
Yeah, be careful.
I am. But he said it wasn't all that bad because a couple times a lady stepped across him, and she was in a dress. And he said that, you know...
Okay, that's all you need to say.
Yeah, I don't want to say any more than that, but he said he didn't have on underwear, and...
No, but you don't want to say any more than that, huh?
You didn't say what I got to say, man. I don't want to hear it.
Well, no, I didn't want to say any more than that.
Is there anything else you don't want to say any more of?
Well, yeah, he said that she didn't...
Never mind, okay? So Ted Bell is laying there on the ground, and kids are spilling beer on him.
And they're spilling... What is that in the background?
Right now, there's another brush fire up here in Bodego Hills, and so they're using our pond again.
Boy, you've had some fires up there, haven't you?
Yeah, we have, Phil. We've had some very bad fires, and we're hopeful that the fire season now is about to abate, and we're getting into November, so... But we did have one more little brush fire over here at Bodega Hill, and or Bodacious Hill, I should say, because there's two hills there, and I don't... If you remember the old TV show Officer and a Gentleman about the Bodacious, you know what?
Yeah.
Well, there's two hills there, and so they come to be known Bodacious, you know, the Bodacious Twin Hills.
Okay.
Well, don't you think that's interesting?
No, I don't, no. And I find this conversation to be getting really childish. So let's talk about the game.
Well, Mr. Andrea.
Let's talk about the game, okay?
Yeah. And by the way, Ted said that he could come on and talk about the game if you want him to come on and talk about the game.
Oh, Ted is okay, huh?
Yeah, he is.
Yeah, I talked to him earlier, Mr. Andrea. Apparently, he feels better. But he also is not too sure if he feels better. He says he wants to, he wants to, it's like on a first-come, first-serve basis.
What do you mean a first-come, is that the fire plane?
Yeah, that's the plane that's scooping water up and taking it over to Bodacious Tata, or not.
Would you please, there's a lady present.
I'm sorry, ma'am, over to Bodacious Hills.
All right, now what is the story here? We got Ted Bell is what?
Well, Ted Bell said he wanted to take it step by step, to come on a first-come, first-served basis.
What does that mean, he wants to come on the air?
Yeah.
On a first-come, first-served basis?
Do you mean to say, Bud, that Ted wants to come on the air just to see as he goes?
See as he goes, yeah, it was something like that.
So Ted, in other words, wants to see, you know, whether or not he can... you know, be strong enough to be on the air, I guess. Is that kind of what we're talking about here?
Yeah, kind of, but I'm not sure. How come I can see a line through your face?
I don't know, but you can see a line through my face. Very interesting. All right, I think it's probably the shadow. Looking at the video cast. So, Ted Bell, first come, first serve.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Ted Bell is joining us from his home in Beverly Hills, California. Ted had a scare yesterday, and we're very, very grateful that you're all right, Ted. When you were in the press box... and you were calling the game, and all of a sudden, fans heard you having a difficult time. They heard you, you know, having a difficult time breathing, I guess, and having a difficult time pronouncing words. How you feeling now, buddy?
Bill, I feel better. I am taking it easy. I heard Steve say that he thinks he's going to be calling these games. No, I can assure you, no, that won't happen. I'm not saying I won't take your job. No, I know you don't want to take my job, but what I'm saying to you is you can't take my job. It's not going to happen.
Well, I mean, we'll let them decide.
Well, okay, yeah, we'll let them decide. But in any event, Phil, at least I have the common courtesy to be on a telephone in a very nice, quiet room, and I'm not standing out near a pond.
I have to be out here to monitor the water intake.
Yeah, you do that. You know...
Well, let me ask you guys a question. This was a hell of a game yesterday. I know you missed broadcasting it, Ted. But you're at each other's throats here, and this guy lifted you up and took you downstairs and may have saved your life.
Well, he may have saved my life. He laid me down on pavement in the noonday sun. I'm laying there. I can't move. And for 90 minutes, I lay there like a dead man. And the only laugh I got, the only little thing that allowed me to have some hope of living... was that lady stepping across me to go get something. I forget what she was doing. She must have stepped across me about a half a dozen times, and you know, and I won't get into it, but you know what I saw. And
yeah, probably a little bit of the morning.
Shut up, man.
Sorry.
Well, I'll tell you this much. It was a hell of a football game.
Oh, yeah.
Well, let's take a look at this ball game yesterday. It was Denver and Dallas played in Dallas. And it was five touchdown passes thrown by Tony Romo. Five touchdown passes.
Well, you know, you made a very good point. You said that you hadn't seen a quarterback display like that by two quarterbacks because Peyton Manning had five touchdown passes. We can get the numbers for you, but I think since Unitas and Namath, that's how these two guys went back and forth. It's only the fourth time in NFL history that both teams have scored at least 48 points.
Only the fourth game since 1920.
Yeah, since 1920, they've only had three other games where two teams scored at least, okay, so three times two is six. No, you don't have to forget it. Don't do it like that. It doesn't make any difference.
I'm just trying to see how many different teams was involved.
It could have been some of the same teams.
What?
It could have been the same teams.
Yeah, don't you understand it could have been the same team? In other words, it could have been like... If it's four games, and we're talking three, oh, God, I hate you. I don't want to talk about this.
All right, hold on. I don't want Ted getting upset because he's still laying in a hospital bed. We'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show as we talk with Ted Bell, you know, about Ted and Steve, about this magnificent football game yesterday, and also about this very unfortunate attack of asthma that got a hold of Ted partway through, I think, the first half, so that Steve Bozell was left to do the entire second half of the game. But what a game it was, as the Denver Broncos beat the Dallas Cowboys, I think it was 51 to 48. What a ball game. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. World famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com this Monday night. Nice to have you guys with us. And we return here after our fun-filled weekend. I don't know. I ought to be better clued in on half the stuff that's going on around here. Like the Dodgers, which is my hometown team here, and I'm not expressing any particular support for the Dodgers above and beyond. In other words, I'm not trying to rub it into anybody. But that's been my team since I was a kid. And I don't even know what's going on with baseball, man. It's been so long since this town had a baseball team that was any good. I was watching the football yesterday, and I was listening to Ted and Steve, and you talk about a ball game. It was one holy hell of a game. So, Ted, there you are in the hospital with that asthma attack, and you're trying to breathe, and you're trying to, you know, get... you're also trying to get some of the scores of the games that are going on, as well as the game that you were going to be working. What was it that struck you about the game? And we'll ask you, Steve, because you were doing the game. What was it that struck you about this game more than anything else?
Well, I think, first of all, Phil, that the Denver Broncos made absolutely the right call at the end of the game. I heard Jim Nantz and Phil Sims and the rest of these guys talking about, oh, you know, they got to give the ball and hand the ball off and they can get another touchdown and all this. And I said, and I heard you say it, Steve, and you were right. You said, just kneel on the ball three times and get the hell out of there, you know. That's absolutely right. You know, they want to run the ball. And a couple times Peyton Manning took off with the ball, tried to run with it, and I think that's because they were trying to strip it. They were submarining some guys in there trying to strip it. But the last thing you want to do, if you got a clean, it's going to be clean as a baby's, you know, it's just as clean as the crack on a bone on a little tiny baby. You don't have to say that. All right, well, I'm saying, hold on for a minute. Yeah, there he goes. Yeah. Boy, that's pretty. Are you watching that airplane again? Because I'm telling you, it's very difficult to hear.
See if you can get out of that. It's noisy, okay?
Well, I understand that and I appreciate it, gentlemen. But I'm looking at these fire. This we don't get a lot of these fires, you know. And I don't. I want to make sure they do it right, okay? Bodacious Hills is just out down around here, and I can't say what it means to me. But I'll tell you, when April and I split up, and the only thing that I had in my life that was even remotely like being with a woman was I'd look out the window at Bodacious. You know, boy, that's sad. Yeah, you better believe it's sad. No, I mean, that's sad just from the standpoint of what kind of a guy you are, that you get your sexual kicks looking at mountains. Buddy, let me just say something.
Hold on for a minute. I want to stick to the football game, okay?
Look at it right here. Yeah, all right, man. I'm giving him the thumbs up. You know what? That guy in that plane doesn't care. I beg your pardon? The guy in the plane doesn't care. He doesn't care that you think you're cool and you're down with fire guys, you know. What, do you think he's your pal? He gave me a thumb. Let me just tell you something, okay? Are you going to tell me that he gave you the thumbs up back? Yes. Okay. Do you know, because I know a couple, they always do that with people. They do that with kids, and they do that with retarded people. I'm sorry. You know, so in other words, what you're saying...
Okay, if you guys keep arguing, I'll hang up and you guys can have this argument in Ted's hospital room or wherever, but it's not going to happen on the air.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I am too.
All right, good. Peyton Manning, Denver Broncos, what struck you about the game, Steve Bozell?
Well, the thing, more than anything else, is that Peyton Manning had to keep the ball out of the end zone. You didn't want him to, you certainly didn't want Peyton Manning to give the ball to a running back and to try and get the touchdown, and that's going to give the Dallas Cowboys a chance at the football again. And you sure didn't want to kick the field goal preliminarily. And so what they wanted to do is run that clock down, but not give time on the clock, not score a touchdown or anything like that. So I think Peyton Manning made the right calls. He would scramble away, try to get away from the line of scrimmage, and eventually when time was about to expire with 2 seconds left, then they went ahead and they done did it. Yeah, you know, I'm glad that you said that, Steve, because I couldn't figure out what was going on at the end of the game at all. I didn't understand what they were doing. Maybe I don't know football that well. But what I did want to comment on was Tony Romo's performance was just magnificent. 506 yards. 5 touchdown passes, maybe the best game of his career, and he throws the pick at the end, and there you go. It was just like that.
Well, that's a hell of a time to throw an interception, and God knows we've seen Peyton Manning do that. One of the interceptions Peyton Manning threw was in a Super Bowl. Was that pick a couple of years ago in the Super Bowl, or was it the AFC title game? But he threw a very, very... it was just a devastating interception for the Indianapolis Colts at the time that ended the game for them. Anytime the game ends on an interception, it's brutal.
Yeah, there's no question about that, Phil, and Romo, look disappointed. But I tell you right now, this kid, Tony Romo, come into his own. I don't think I'm ever going to see Tony Romo as anything other than, a good top-flight NFL quarterback, because I used to think the guy was sort of maybe this, maybe that, maybe, I didn't really all that impressed with him going out with them. But they did show Jessica Simpson. She looks like she's matured, and she looks like she's turned into a mother, like a real woman.
What do you mean, Jessica Simpson?
That wasn't Jessica. Are you talking about the blonde they showed? They showed the lady that he dated.
That's not Jessica Simpson, man. That was someone else. Who was he supposed to be dating anyway? Who was that?
It was supposed to be Jessica Simpson, but that wasn't her.
No, I know that wasn't her.
Hold on. The lady they showed was blonde and had a big...
No, that was not her. That was his wife. That is his current wife. I think they even have a child.
Boy, he didn't waste no time, did he?
Well, I don't know, man, but that wasn't whoever that chick was that he was dating, no.
I remember when Terrell Owens said, man, you got to get rid of her, man. She's messing me up. And when a guy like Terrell Owens tells you that, you better listen. No, I wouldn't listen. If I was the quarterback of that team and Terrell Owens came to me, tell me you wouldn't listen to Terrell Owens if he told you to get rid of that bar trash. What do you mean bar trash? Boy, you got a mouth on you.
Okay, this is completely pointless and beside the point, guys. We don't need to talk about it. Tony Romo is married to another woman. He's not going out with whoever that chick is. It was a great football game. He threw that pick, and at the end of the game, it was identical stats in terms of touchdowns and interceptions thrown for both Peyton Manning and... Peyton Manning had 4 touchdown passes and an interception, and Romo 5 and an interception. Romo, 506 yards. Peyton Manning... 300 and some change. I mean, it was a pretty boss day for Peyton Manning. Maybe even hit 400 yards, but it was quite the day for two outstanding quarterbacks, a new generation in the National Football League. Ted Bell and Steve Bozell, I thank you guys for joining us. Steve, have they put that fire out there in the Bodacious Hills or wherever it is?
Yeah, they're still working on the Bodacious Fire. I want to make it clear to Ted Bell and anybody else, I'm not saying that when April left, when we were separated, that I'd stand here in the kitchen staring out the window at Bodacious Peak and go, oh, yeah, ooh, I want to get with that mountain. I mean, what do you think I am anyway? Well, that's the way you're putting it. You're talking about how it's the only sexual... all I would say is I'd look at Bodacious Peak and what we call Rocky Top, and I remember about the sweet love that I used to make to my wife. All right, well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make fun of you. No, it's okay.
All right. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Ted.
Yeah. Thanks a lot, Phil, and we will be back at you, of course, this Sunday with another Pro Football Game of the Week.
All right. There's Ted Bell and Steve Bozell.
I think that Steve Bozell, the sooner he's in to see a professional about whatever it is that ails him, the better.
Yeah, I he must earn one hell of a living.
Why say that?
Why would any woman stay with a guy like that? Why would any woman stay with a sniveling, whining crybaby like that who's suing everybody that insults him, suing everybody that makes him feel bad, everybody that even remotely offends him? Why would a woman stay with him unless he makes a great living? It's got to be.
Well, there's one other reason, and I don't want to be very... I don't want to be graphic, but let's just say hits the floor and rolls to the wall.
You always say that. That's getting old.
I ought to beat your ass.
Hey, watch it.
Getting old.
He said it was getting old, not you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry.
But he's right. It is getting old. All right, so Steve Bozell and Ted Bell, I hope you're feeling better there, Ted. It's a brutal... brutal, 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 brutal fang. World famous Phil Hendry Show at philhendryshow.com. And we're online, of course, at philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass. and check out what we got for you, man. Thanks to everybody at the LA Podfest this past weekend. What a blast. I mean, what an absolute blast we had. Hey, this month of Halloweeny, man, it is the Pastor William Renick Silver Bullet Special. You get a backstage pass this month. We'll stick something in your sack, man. It's a treat. It ain't no trick. So we'll jam a treat up your sack if you get a backstage pass this month. And we also are going to be rolling out our affiliate program. What is that? Stay tuned.
Woo-hoo. All I said, and that's all I said. No, that's not all you said.
Hey, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com. Online at philhenryshow.com. You know, there's a bunch of stuff happening. Why am I not remembering? I want you to write this stuff down, bud.
You were supposed to put that stuff down in a list, bud.
Yeah, well, I forgot. Well, you don't forget, man. I forgot. I want this stuff on a list. Okay?
Why? I mean,
you know, it's not that I don't want to break your castanets on this thing, but if I say to you I need some, that means I got to see it on the air, man. So the stuff, we got a lot of stuff happening. We got the affiliate program for our BSPs. We are rolling out another tier, another pay tier, which I don't want to tell anybody anything about. I also wanted to do a thorough thank you to everybody at the LA Podfest. Bobby Dooley was there. Did I already do this?
Well, you said sort of half-assed.
All right. Half-assed.
Yeah, it was half-assed.
All right, so it was half-assed. Sorry, folks. Bobby Dooley was there with Graham Elwood, and then the Sklar Brothers had me on last night on the Scarborough Country podcast. And as I said, we ran into a lot of nice people, good friends, all kinds of folks. Greg Fitzsimmons. Greg, love you, babe. Greg has a great podcast, and he does a couple of hours on Sirius XM, and he's going to have us back on. And the Sklar Brothers are going to do a quid pro quo with Bobby.
Well, finally, Bobby's getting some guests again.
Well, she gave up on her podcast because she's too lazy to book it herself. Maybe I shouldn't say that, but we'll have her on later on. And I was just talking to Matt, my technical director. It's my father-in-law, Big Al, man. He's not doing good. He's sick.
Sorry to hear that, Mr. Henry.
Thank you, bud.
What's his name?
Al. He's my father-in-law.
And what does he do?
Well, he's retired now.
No, I mean, what is he? Yeah, what is he?
What do you mean, what is he?
You said he's your what?
My father-in-law. Father-in-law.
Oh, okay.
And what's his name?
Do I have to start kicking ass here?
Phil, I didn't hear his name.
Al.
Al.
Yes,
Al. He's sick. Okay?
Well, I hope he gets better.
Well, he's not doing too good. And I just want to send a little power, kind of a power blast out to you, Al. Just kind of good vibes, some good thoughts, some good vibrations, some hippy-dippy stuff, man. You never know. It can help. Al's a great guy, and he is, he's that generation. He's my ex-wife's father. He's my ex-father-in-law, but I still feel very, close to those guys. And he, Al was in the Air Force. He told me so many stories when he was, he grew up in Chicago. He grew up in Chicago. Guess what his first language was?
Spanish.
Why'd you say Spanish?
Yeah, what was that about?
Well, you said guess what his first language was. It obviously wasn't English.
Yeah, well, you're obviously not going to be English.
Well, that's true, okay. It was German.
What?
German, because there was Germans in Chicago, man, not necessarily Spanish people, okay? It was German. His folks were both from Germany. And so even though he was born in the United States, the first language that he spoke at home was German. And then he learned English, as he interacted in the neighborhood. And in those days, if you wanted beer, they literally, I used to think this was a joke or something, he would take a bucket, his mother would give him a bucket, say, go on down to the corner and get some beer.
Now, why would they sell that to a child?
Because that's what they did in those days. In those neighborhoods, they understood, oh, the kid's in to get beer for the family. And she'd give him like a nickel, man. You could fill a whole bucket full of beer.
Why didn't anybody buck a buck when they get a can?
Well, because they didn't have cans back then, man.
You talk about that didn't have no can opener or anything?
No, they didn't have no can opener. I don't know what they had. I guess they didn't have can. I think they had cans, but nobody was bright enough to think about canned beer. That's why that saying, the greatest thing since canned beer. Anyway, he told me all kinds of stories, going to Mexico when he was 19, and then he got in the Air Force, and he went to Europe. And in those days, I guess he can still do this, you could go into wherever the planes were taking off. If you were like in the Air Force, okay?
Yeah.
You could go into wherever these planes were leaving from, and I think he was at an air base at that time when we still had these kinds of relations with France. It was an air base in France. Now the French kicked us out, so we don't have any air bases there anymore. But he's looking at this thing, and it says he wanted to go to England. It said, going to Helsinki. And it was 1952 during the Olympics. So he goes, oh, I think I'll go there. And he and about 30 guys piled on this plane and flew into Helsinki and spent like a week getting hammered. And, well, I better not say.
You've got to be kidding me. In a United States uniform, an Air Force uniform, conducting himself like that.
Yeah, but at least he was getting his ashes hauled.
Never mind about his ashes getting hauled, okay?
Well, that was going on.
That is a disgrace.
Oh, will you give me a break? So anyway, yeah, he's in a U.S. Air Force uniform, and he's in Helsinki, and yeah, he had a couple of girlfriends. The guy wasn't married. The guy's 19 years old. What do you want from him? So anyway, well, however old he was, I don't know. But so he had a million stories. So I'm telling you, Al, if there's anything I can do, anything I can say, anything I can be.
Probably want you to stay away for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I'll stay away, all right?
No, I'm just talking about if you show up. Maybe all that excitement, he can't have that.
I don't know, man. I don't know. I don't know how they how those things, whether the excitement's going to hurt him or not. I have no idea. 855-500-7445, world famous Phil Hendry Show. And then we come to the story and to the topic that we just all love. Because nothing makes me feel better than talking about America and the politicians that run it and the Congress and the groovy, beautiful stuff, what's going on back there in Washington.
You got some real... These guys are real hand-wringing gloids, the way they're doing this one.
Absolutely. Debt limit breach, no big deal. Some GOP lawmakers say, I don't know what's happening here, man. But now the story is that Boehner is not going to allow this default to take place, that they're finally going to get the budget in place. They're finally going to have some money to operate with, and this nonsense can go away. And... If I will tell you this, if the Tea Party guys have made friends, if they've found people that they've been able to sway with this action, more power to them. You know, more power to them. I to be honest with you, it scares me.
Why?
Because I think anybody that gets swayed to be a Tea Party member by what has just happened has not even begun to do their due diligence in looking into this issue. They don't even know what it's about. If they are swayed by what these knuckleheads did, because it was some pretty just usurious activity. So now the next thing is this debt limit that is coming up. Harvey Wireman joins us from San Marino, California. As you know, Harvey is an attorney at law, and most of what he has done in his life has been criminal defense work. But we wanted to get Harvey on here to talk a little bit about politics because... You know, Harvey, you in your travels, you've certainly involved yourself in the adjudication of economic issues, lawsuits, and even white-collar crime. So this would not appear to be something too far afield of what you do. What do you? And plus, you've been back in D.C. What do you make of this fight coming up?
Well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the debt ceiling fight is the one. You know, and I think a lot of people. See, I've been around so long. I remember all of these fights going back to the 1930s, as a matter of fact. But I'm gonna get my glasses on here and tell you the boobaloo. You see, now again, these are the wrong glasses.
Okay, Harvey, I can't keep doing this, man.
Hold on, Henry, please. You know, I don't have time right now for your little impatience act. Go get mommy and get the glasses.
Harvey, every time you're on the program, you're talking to your granddaughter about glasses.
That's right. I'm talking to my granddaughter because she doesn't know enough to get the right glasses when I talk. Thank you very much, dear. There, these are the right glasses. These are purple. These are not the right glasses.
Well, why do you have the guy on the show?
That's it. They're right there. The kid said it. Why do you have me on the show?
Because your speakers bureau calls us up and asks us if we want to have you on the show.
Honey, go get the glasses for mommy, and then bring grandpa some of the smart water that I bought. Yeah, that's it, baby. All right, so the debt limit, Phil, is no big deal according to the GOP. Now, Reptilian.
Republican.
Republican lawmakers are voyaging, increasing, skepticism.
Skepticism, man, you know.
Oh, hey, man, you know, I'm sorry. I'm an old man, all right? Give me a break.
Republican lawmakers are voicing increasing skepticism.
Yeah, about DeRay's warnings that failing to raise the debt ceiling would...
The debt ceiling.
How do you get debt ceiling out of that?
D-E-B-T. The B is silent.
What do you mean the B is silent?
Do you see a word there that says D-E-B-T?
Yeah.
That's debt.
Well, the B's silent.
Yes, the B's... Now, key-elling, I don't know what that is.
C-E-I-L-I...
Ceiling.
Okay. That the debt ceiling would result in... Oh, boy, this is a tough one. Catastrophe... Catatropica?
What the hell?
Is that catastrophic?
Yes, okay, you got it. Catastrophic. Defibrillate. I would dispel the rumor that is going around that you hear on every nucus. What the hell is a nucus?
Newscast?
Okay, newscast. That if we don't raise the debt ceiling, debt ceiling, we will default. Default on our debt. We won't. That's Tom Coburn. He's a Republican from alcohol. What state is alcohol?
Oklahoma.
Oh, Oklahoma.
All right, well, let's take a break here.
Well, he's being informative.
Yeah, guy can't even read no English or anything.
Well, at least he can read a little bit. You can't speak it at all.
All right, now hold on for a minute. In the state of alcohol, I mean, that guy's mind is going at an ever-increasing rate. Every time I have him on, it gets worse and worse. At least he's not clearing his throat anymore. Remember when he used to do that whole, that thing?
Oh, yeah, man, he doesn't do that?
No. But if he doesn't get that granddaughter to get squared away and bring him the right glasses, I think I'm going to lose it, man. They're going to put me in a padded cell. We'll be right back here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show as we continue to talk with Harvey Wireman about the battle on Capitol Hill over a variety of topics, most prominent of which, of course, is the argument over money. It's always about money. It's the thing that breaks up romances and marriages. Money. It's the thing that puts us all into a high state of depression. Money. It's the thing that Ash told the two mechanics on the alien ship that they wouldn't get if they didn't help them go get the alien. Money. You know.
What?
Never mind. World famous Phil Henry Show. It's the world-famous Phil Henry Show at philhenryshow.com, and a glorious, happy, and marvelous... I was going to say Merry Christmas. I guess we're not even...
No, it's Halloween. That's about it.
Close to Halloween. World-famous Phil Henry Show. So thank you very much, Harvey, for that, and we'll see what we will see. I don't know. Five things that couldn't happen in the movie Gravity. There's a new movie out called Gravity. The Sandra Bullock, George Clooney space thriller set an October opening weekend record, surpassing Paranormal Activity's $52 million debut in 2011. Many critics also hailed the film, which centers around characters being set adrift in space, but some in the science community have taken exception to some of the facts presented. You always gotta, you know, tell people it can't happen like this. You know, this is not... You know, I realized, I don't know that it gets much dumber than this. And I realize, of course, we have challenged the generation of people that thought the Martians were landing with War of the Worlds. Remember those people got their shotguns and ran out and thought Martians were landing?
What is that?
Well, that was back in the 30s when they did the War of the Worlds and people thought there was a Martian.
Oh, that, on a War of a World?
Yes, War of the Worlds, man. They thought there were Martians landing because of the way that Orson Welles did it. And we look back on those days with a kind of arrogance, thinking, aren't those people stupid? Well, I hate to break the news, but we ain't much brighter. when we think that, you know, an industrial accident could indeed cause an apocalypse of zombies to descend upon us, just like in Walking Dead.
The guy I'm trying to shoot his girlfriend?
What? Some guy, I've told the story, but what I'm trying to say is the stuff we believe, it's mind-boggling. Yeah, some jackass. I mean, this is a guy that deserves to just get beat up. You know what I'm saying by that? I don't mean dead. I don't mean killed. But he deserves to be beat up. Any guy that would pull a gun because he's so angry that his girlfriend will not cop to, at least agree in theory, with the idea that an industrial accident could cause zombies, and he got so angry at her.
What do you mean, an industrial accident?
Well, whatever the hell started The Walking Dead, I don't know what.
It's a military experiment gone awry.
All right, so it's a military experiment gone awry. This guy was arguing with his girlfriend that it's possible. Well, I suppose anything's possible. But she was saying, no, it's not possible. There's nothing in the science that we know. There's nothing in the world of science that we have found out. There's nothing in the catalog of human knowledge that would even remotely lead us to believe that you could reanimate a corpse in any kind of way, whether it's an industrial accident, an accident involving bacteriological weapons, the military, whatever. So she was at least working from she was looking at the database and saying, there's nothing here that tells us that can happen. And this jackass, because he's spends most of his time staring at a television set when he isn't, you know, masturbating to porn on the internet, what?
We're not laughing, Phil. We're staring at you so you can feel uncomfortable.
Yeah, I don't think that's funny.
Well, so you want to make me feel like a creep or something?
Yeah.
Anyway, when the guy isn't doing that, he's, he's imagining these things. So they got into an argument. She left. Then she came back, and he met her on the front lawn with a gun and shot her. Now, she wasn't killed, and I believe that she's out of the hospital. Whatever injury was inflicted was not life-threatening. But like I said, that's a guy that deserves to have his ass kicked. Until 5 or 6 guys. Seriously, like he deserves to have 5 or 6 guys kick his ass until he acknowledges that he's an utter imbecile for ever having proposed such a thing.
You'd have kicked that guy's ass, he's still going to think the same thing.
Yeah, but you see, what I'm saying is this. He may think the same thing, but I think people that think those things should be frightened of thinking them.
Well, Phil, that's mind control. That's like 1984, where, you know, the pain inflicted on you causes you to think...
No. I'm not talking about inflicting pain on someone so that when you hold up 2 fingers, they see 3. I'm not playing those games. I'm talking about someone who believes something that does not yet exist, and in point of fact, there's nothing that even indicates it could ever exist other than a television show. And I'm not even talking about a guy that believes something that there's nothing that indicates it could exist. I'm talking about a guy that was willing to pick up a gun and shoot somebody over it.
So that would be the punishment.
Yeah, I think that would be the good punishment. I think every time that guy thought about zombies reanimating because of an army, some sort of a chemical spill or accident in the army, I think he should remember the day he got his ass beat and keep it to himself.
Man, that sounds pretty good to me.
I think it's the way to go, man. And now we have this film called Gravity. Astrophysicist Neil deGrasse Tyson took to Twitter over the weekend to offer several mysteries of the galaxy, including the film Gravity should be renamed Angular Momentum. He points out what the film got wrong, from the fact that Bullock's hair didn't float free to why she, as a medical doctor, was on the mission to start with. So, basically, this is a scientist and a series of astronauts taking a look at a Hollywood movie. And this kind of thing should be done more often, and they're reviewing it for factual errors. They should do this with historical films as well. They should have had somebody sit down and say, you're about to see a movie based upon the gangs of New York. All right, I'm Dr. Swenson, I'm a historian, and let me tell you what part of this film is so loaded down with bullcrap you want to cry, okay?
Well, Phil, now, that was a good movie.
No, baby.
Baby.
Yes. No, it was not a good movie. All right, so number 1, the way the shuttle travels. NASA expert Michael A. Interbartolo didn't even have to wait for the film to come out to dispute this. When the trailer premiered, he wrote that the relative motion of the shuttle in the film Gravity, appears to be off for the chain of events that follow. The way I'm seeing it, the shuttle has wings level, payload bay up, right wing into the orbital velocity vector, nose in Y, wrote the astronaut. He said, however, he said he flew the shuttle in mission control for 11 years, and the MMOD, the MMOD impact puts it in a roll about Y with it still traveling at the velocity of X. And why are the forward and aft reaction control jets not firing to damp the ramp since they were intact in the trailer? Translation for you non-science types out there. It's more movie magic than actual science that has the shuttle getting smacked with debris and then heading in the direction it is set. Sandra Bullock keeps defying gravity with her career. Rendezvous in Space is not as easy or as quick as the film makes it appear. Bullock plays Ryan Stone, a medical engineer on her first mission in space, who gets set adrift on an accident. Part of the action involves her trying to make her way back to her fellow astronaut, but according to Interbartolo, it's a wonder that Clooney's character doesn't get shredded by all the debris floating around the incident. We'll get back to this and more when we come back. World famous Phil Henry Show, sorry. But I had to at least get you primed or prepped or whatever the hell you want to call it. So all that debris that's floating around, right?
Yeah.
That stuff is going to go right through a guy, man. That stuff is, those are like bullets, because the guy's traveling like 20,000 miles an hour.
What?
Never mind. We'll be right back. World famous Phil and Richard.